This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
how did this fly get in here? Somebody got a fly swatter?
Yeehaw!
It was a shot of Prairie Jesus, is really what it was.
It was.
You'd think we would be getting used to it, but we never get used to it. We never get tired of good things happening.
This life doesn't get old.
No. It was a nice little distraction from the real world, and here we are today for a coffee session.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Flame Tech Football Friday. Welcome to the RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show. And I welcome everybody listening online at rodpeterson.com/listen live, which every day it's a good idea to listen to the audio, but you're really missing out today. Happy Halloween Eve to everybody. And yeah, we've had some people come in costume here today. Can you want to put the camera, guys, on Darren DuPont? And you can explain. Are you going trick-or-treating after this?
Absolutely. I don't know if I'm supposed to go trick-or-treating today or tomorrow.
Trick-or-treat.
But we'll try. We'll see.
You want to explain your outfit today?
I like it. Do I have to?
Well, to some you will. Yes. You've come dressed as the Calgary Stampeders quarterback.
Yeah. Or am I? Johnny Lawrence, right?
Sensei Lawrence.
I think we have. Do we still have the picture kicking around?
Yes, Sensei.
It has been a thing that we've done throughout the year because Johnny Lawrence and Bo Levi are spitting image, right?
Yeah.
Here it is.
There you go. From Cobra Kai, the Netflix series. Leave it up there, guys. Hold it, just itchy on the trigger finger in there. And the Calgary Stampeders quarterback. So Darren has come in honor of those two. So well done.
Cobra Kai Mitchell.
Yes. Who, by the way, led his Stampeders to a CFL Sim victory last night, which we'll get to in a moment. But hey, obviously we're having fun today on Halloween Eve. And I hope the same can be said for all of you as we settle in on football topics today. Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster John Frenzy is going to be with us. Our NFL insider Tory Gurley will be with us, former Cleveland Browns, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and Toronto Argonaut. He's lined up in segment two to talk about week eight in the NFL. Frank McChrystal, he's got a lot of fans watching already. Slick, the Hall of Fame head coach of the Regina Rams football program, will be with us right in studio. Cool. Slick. And Mike Benavides, the defensive coordinator of the Ottawa Redblacks, can join us to talk about all kinds of things. Benny, not the least of which is the legacy of David Braley, because he worked for him for a good many years with the BC Lions.
That's right.
So, anything else? People are writing. They're loving your outfit. Way to go, Darren. Yeah.
I did. I tried to grow out the stubble the last couple of days so I could be a little gruff like Bo, but I just, his is a little longer and a little thinner. And
yeah. And what's my costume? I'm going dressed as Darren DuPont. I'm wearing sandals because it is only -1 degree Celsius today. So a hoodie and a sandals. Listen, Stampeders fans, pipe down. They're already thinking that you're trashing Bo Levi Mitchell and making fun of...
I'm a fan.
Exactly.
I'm a fan.
What is your fascination with Bo Levi? I might ask you the same thing. All right, let's go with the quick six show topics, please, Jordan. Let's hit it. It is Flame Tech Football Friday, but there is a hockey topic that's actually leading the headlines, and that is the Arizona Coyotes. Wasn't long, I don't think, after we got off the air yesterday.
Right.
They announced they were renouncing their draft choice of the UND forward Mitchell Miller, a player who was brought up on charges as a 14-year-old for bullying a disabled black kid in his neighborhood. Now, here's my take. Initially, the Coyotes, the president and owner, stood behind the pick, and then yesterday they said, we're erasing the pick. I had about 4 points on all of that. I don't know if I can remember them all. Number one, I'm a proponent of second chances. Without second chances, I wouldn't be sitting here today. That's number one. The guy committed his crimes when he was 14 years old. I think he's a product of his upbringing. So I would have liked to have seen him have the chance to be rehabilitated. But when the news came down yesterday, I texted a friend of mine and I said, I don't have a problem with this either. Obviously, he had it coming. He doesn't sound like a good kid. And he's never expressed any remorse nor apologized to the target of his harassment and bullying. So no, I don't have a problem with the Coyotes doing it. I have a large problem with Moises Gutierrez. Is he the owner? No, Morales is the owner. Either way, they said they're creating a model franchise with the Arizona Coyotes. These guys wouldn't know a model franchise if it came up and kicked them in the shins. This is just another example of what a joke they're making the Arizona Coyotes. Backpedaling out of this, and now they're going to have an internal review as to how we could have drafted the kid. That should take 5 minutes. And what are you going to come out of that with? Look in the mirror. They're going to run around and start firing scouts and hold the feet to the fire. You guys want to be, you want to play GM, Gutierrez. You want to go meet with Max Domi about being a free agent and signing. But now, oh, we don't want anything to do with this pick. Coyotes are a joke.
It's a bad look.
Okay, there's your footnote on that.
It's a really bad look, especially because they came out and had the letter that's all over social media. You can see the two letters. They came out and said, we want to be the place for growth and change. And we'll be the model franchise who will help him turn the corner and become the leader we want him to be. And then all of a sudden, the ink's not even dry on that letter. And the next one says, I don't know how this happened, and you know he's no longer part of our organization. Either you want to be part of the change, or you want to not have any heat, right, on your organization. You can't have both.
No, and again, now you want to stand back and point the finger at the scouting staff. The Arizona Coyotes continue to just step in their own manure almost on a daily basis. So just get your act together and forget about Mitchell Miller. He'll go to play somewhere, and you hope that he is rehabilitated. That's a harsh lesson for him to learn, but he needed to learn it.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with the Coyotes renouncing their pick or any of how this has all went down. I hope for the best for everybody involved, the kids in the situation. Okay, moving on. Point two, Thursday Night Football. Atlanta Falcons beating Carolina 25-17. Producer Clark's Falcons finally won a game. You hear the applause over there.
Spattering
in the
applause.
Dog pound. It leads to point three. Did you see the hit on Teddy Bridgewater last night?
Yeah.
Late hit. His neck snapped. But didn't snap. It snapped, but came back in. After the game, they said he was fine. Didn't look good when it happened.
He left, and then he came back and finished the game, right?
So my point on that, because I was on TSN 1290 radio in Winnipeg this morning, they said, what do you think of the hit on Bridgewater? What did you think of the hit on Andy Dalton? Similar-ish last week. And I'm like, wait a minute. I haven't followed any of the Dallas Cowboys this week. I haven't heard if Andy Dalton's playing. I don't care. I'm out. I'm checked out. The season's over for my Dallas Cowboys. Was John Bostic suspended? No.
No.
We didn't hear anything.
Nothing. And it's been awfully quiet, hasn't it, when it comes to Andy Dalton's status. But I think that's because people are moving on. They're starting to move on. They're not giving Dallas any credibility. And, man, if Dalton can just get it together at all, they have a chance. If
no,
the defense
don't.
Can find a way, they have a chance just because they're only a couple of games back. But has two games ever felt like a wider gap than this year with the Cowboys?
No. Lynch, you prepared to talk about all these things?
Sure am.
I've checked out on the Dallas Cowboys, and that maybe it says something about me. When you don't feel that real attachment to your team, it's pretty easy to move on. The season's over. Maybe you think they'll salvage the season. I don't. I was like, thank you guys for bringing this up on TSN 1290 Winnipeg, because I never thought about it. But what it dawned on me is player safety, which has always been a misnomer. They talk about it, but they don't really care. Where's the suspension for the hit on Andy Dalton? Nothing. It's not a priority. They're too busy administering coronavirus tests, which incidentally is fine. They have to do that to play, but they've completely ignored what's going on between the lines. Obviously. To point four, CFL Sim last night. Where'd my bell go? I guess I'll use this.
Where is the bell?
Ah, here it is. Calgary won last night. What a horrible game on Thursday Night Football. Our CFL Esports League, there wasn't a touchdown scored. There was no touchdown scored.
They wanted a safety, I think, right? Something.
The Stampeders clinched first place overall in the CFL Sim League, but with the loss, the Rough Riders did not. So now they need to wait for the other Week 21 games to finish before we know what our playoffs will be. But they will be broadcast next Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern, the first of a doubleheader on our Facebook Live channel, CFL Sim Playoffs. So stay tuned for that. Alan the intern is here. Did you see him?
I did.
I see he is dressed in our dress code. Sandals and sweatpants.
Perfect. He's nothing if not someone who follows the rules.
He says the Cowboys are going for Trevor. I agree. And Alan signs it, bona fide stud. Alan refers to himself regularly on Facebook as a bona fide stud. And I don't doubt it for a second. Trevor Lawrence has coronavirus too, by the way.
Yeah,
did you see that?
I did.
Point five, we didn't spend a ton of time yesterday on this because the news came down in the middle of the show, but that is Grey Cup Unite. CFL announcing a plethora of events for Grey Cup week. And I think we all applauded them. I don't have the news release up in front of me, but they were all designed to get the fans involved, virtual news conferences that we can all participate in, sign up for, State of the Union, a fan's address. I liked everything that I heard. I think everybody did.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very well done. You know, you get nervous that it's just going to be patchwork, virtual concerts and virtual parties and things like that that just don't really seem to work, right? It's all Grey Cup Week's all about getting together, interacting with other fans, being in the venue. But the things that they are doing, whether it's the coaches' media conference, the awards for the decade, all these other things, I think they did a really good job. I think the CFL should be applauded for this.
We got people dropping in late, and I'm not going to have it. They're writing in asking who you are and what are you wearing. And I'm like, listen, the bus left at 10. You're not on it. I'm not going to sit here all day and explain that you're wearing a Cobra Kai costume for Halloween. Like, think of, do I have to explain it for every person that turns their TV on?
I know, right?
Or clicks on Facebook and think, what the hell is he wearing?
Somebody just take care of that in the comments one time, and we'll just direct you back to read the comments, right?
We start at 10 Mountain. Be here or be square. I don't think that's how it goes. But I'm not going to, it's not a remedial course for all of you. Yeah, it's a coffee session for everybody, but show up on time. And point six, where we could spend the most time. Lynch and I talked about it all the way up here. And that is the Grey Cup's future. I would suggest the commissioner doing an interview with for sure the Canadian press and a few more reporters at the same day that they announced Grey Cup Unite was ill-timed. Because I'd rather talk about the CFL's future and what Commissioner Randy Ambrosi is saying than Grey Cup Unite. It kind of stole the thunder away from their own announcement.
It
fair?
It did.
But the commissioner is saying, and he's going to be on this show on Monday, that they're going to do everything they possibly can to play in 2021. And this is, I've referred to this many times on the air this week. There's what you see out here. The fans, and then there's the undercurrent of what's going on here that you don't know about. Everybody, I'm in this. Well, and this, I guess. But there's a lot of stuff going on that you'll never hear about. And people are wondering, how much of a hand did David Braley have to play in the CFL not playing this year? Did he drop the hammer and just say, we're not playing? And even though some teams wanted to play, which I believe they did, he won out. So now that David Braley isn't in the picture, does that change how this league's going to operate to play next year? And by the way, David Braley's son, Rob, was on TSN Vancouver radio yesterday saying that there was more than enough money left in his father's will or within a bank account for the BC Lions to operate for years. First thought, how much money does this guy have? Clearly a lot.
That's just the leftovers in the will.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what all my kids got? And then the Lions got this. Point two, while everybody's celebrating out in Vancouver and across the CFL that, oh, he left some money to the Lions. So what? Like, where is that franchise right now? All-time low in attendance? Zero brand in the market? Third place behind the Canucks and the Whitecaps, and fourth if you throw in the Seahawks. That doesn't make me very excited that David Braley's left money in the account. What were you doing with it in the first place? The BC Lions were in the worst state that they've been in 50 years. Would you agree, Lynch?
Certainly would.
So what's great about them hanging on to the team? I got to go further down this road and say the people that I talked to with the Lions prior to David Braley's passing felt that this team would be sold almost immediately by Braley's kids because they have no interest in owning the team, and that, incidentally, is their right. But would you be lining up to buy a CFL team right now?
If the bank account's flush with cash, I am.
Yeah, fair.
Right? I mean, if they're flush with cash and this team's going to have all the operating expenses covered for the next decade, sign me up. I'll buy the team because I'm confident that I could run it in a way that would, you know, revitalize the brand.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to remind our viewers that we still have this Facebook Live glitch that I can't see who's writing in. I can see your comments. I can't see who's writing them. Unless Clark, producer Clark, flashes it up on the bottom of the screen. One commenter says, Braley's son is trying to say that the club is virtually debt-free to try and entice a rich sucker to buy the Lions. Okay, that's Colin from Ottawa. Next commenter says, given that Braley has passed, do the Canucks become the likely buyer? No! Francesco Aliquilini, owner of the Canucks, saying on Wednesday they're out of the running. That's why you need to keep it here, because you'll be informed. The Canucks are not in the running to buy the BC Lions. Now, will this continue to be a very CFL-ish situation? And we've all seen it over the years. Haven't we, Lynch?
Sure, we have. It will be.
A guy sells a team, and before they turn the keys over to the next owner, they steal every single thing left in the building. Rolling up carpets, taking napkins, taking styrofoam cups out of the kitchen. Draining the bank accounts.
Toilet paper.
Why would we think that this would be any different? They're saying the Lions are in good financial position. That's cool. Why would you leave any money left in the bank account? Yeah. That's just going to go to the sale price. Which, incidentally, I spent a long time on the phone yesterday with an absolute CFL icon, and he said the Alouettes were probably sold to Gary Stern and Sid Spiegel for free. Think about that for a second. Just assume the debt at the absolute best, but they probably got the team for nothing. I had a guy write me from Orlando, Florida today and say, what do you think the Lions will be sold for? Just today, I can show you in the break if you want. I'm thinking, are you interested in buying them?
Right. And at what price?
Yeah. Well, I said at one time, Braley wanted $36 million not that long ago. Now I'd be shocked if they went for over 10.
Yeah.
So we got a break. So anyways, are you going to stay in that costume? I hope you do.
No, I'll stay in it. The one thought I'll leave you with before we go is, if no one's lining up to buy it, would there ever be on the table to have it as a community
own team? Lynch, we got a lot of things to talk about, don't we?
Sure do.
Sure do. Great outfit.
Thank you.
See you later. I'm going dressed as Philip Rivers today. We'll be back with Tory Gurley, John Frenzy, Frank McChrystal on the way, and Mike Benavides, too. It's a Flame Tech Football Friday, industry leader in combustion services. Flame Tech, shout out to Denton up there in Saskatoon watching the program. This has been the warm-up, and you're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Howdy, everybody. I tell you what, this is where things pick up and we really get moving at a fast pace. John Frenzy's here, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. How you doing, Frenzy?
I'm doing great, Rod.
His appearance is brought to you by Wheaton Kia, found in North Regina at the corner of Albert and Avonhurst. Our poll question today is, who's the greatest general manager in CFL history? We saved this for Flame Tech Football Friday. Your options. Lynch came up with the first, Hugh Campbell. Initially, I wouldn't have thought of it. Then he's probably the greatest. 9 Grey Cups. Go check his Wikipedia.
5 in a row. Only guy to do that.
Jim Popp, Wally Buono, and Eric Tillman. Hugh Campbell, Jim Popp, Wally Buono, Eric Tillman. In Calgary, they're going nuts. They're saying, where's Huff?
He's not there.
Do you want to explain why?
Shouldn't be. Other guys have one more. He hasn't won that many. You have to win. But three or four before we consider you, right?
Well, the biggest one, Eric Tillman, won three with three different teams.
Yeah, three different teams.
Jim Pops won five. And Wally Buono on Twitter is leading the poll with 48%. Hugh Campbell has 32%. So Huff's just got to keep winning.
Wally's only been with one team.
That's right. Slide your butt around so we can see that Kia logo. There you go, Frenzy. And Wheaton Kia also brings you Tory's Tips, our NFL fantasy insider, NFL insider Tory Gurley joining us, Packers Browns alum. And Argo, hey, he's got his Halloween outfit on too. Sensei Gurley. How are you?
How about that, eh?
Well, Mr. Miyagi, you know, I see Cobra Kai was over there, so I got to represent for Mr. Miyagi. So here we go. This is for him. Tory's Tips.
The Gurley Dojo. I like it. We're all in Halloween spirit here today. Hey, Tory, before we get to your tips for week 8, I just got to put to you a question was posed to me on TSN Winnipeg this morning. Where's the fine or suspension or discipline on the hit from John Bostic on Andy Dalton last week, and then the hit on Bridgewater last night? Where's the discipline right now? Is player safety a priority at all right now beyond COVID?
I'm kind of shocked. I don't know if the NFL is backed up with a bunch of stuff, but I'm quite sure the fines will be levied pretty soon. Because, you know, my first tackle in the NFL went for $18,000. So I can only imagine. That was in 2014. So I'm quite sure what we saw this past Sunday and yesterday, they're probably sitting at between $30,000 and $40,000 in fines off those one to two tackles.
No suspension in your mind? Fines only? I mean, what did you think of the hits? They were both clearly late to a defenseless target.
Yeah, I just think they're going to go with the fine, because when you get suspended, you miss that game check. So I've never seen them fine someone and suspend them off the same hit. Usually it's one or the other.
Lynch has some questions for you. Are you ready?
Yep, sure. I'm Tory.
All right, let's roll.
Tory, I'm very much surprised the way nobody from the Cowboys paid any attention to Dalton lying on the ground there after that hit. He took a heck of a hit, Andy Dalton did. And none of his teammates seemed to be bothered about it, just walked on around the past him. Did you see that? Is that an indication of how much respect he doesn't have?
I see it two different ways. And number one, if it was me and my quarterback, if it was Ricky Ray or Aaron Rodgers or whoever, you know, I would have went over there and fought. You know, I kick butt first and ask questions later. But also the way Andy responded, the way his body locked up, usually when you see that, your first reaction is to grab the medics, to make sure someone can get there, bring the stretcher on the field, bring the EMTs, because – we've seen it before when a guy's concussed, they just somewhat lock up. And the first thing you think about is them. You're not worried about who hit them. You just want to make sure that they're okay, because you don't want to see one of your brothers, you know, pass out on the field. So I see it both ways. But if it was me, the first thing I would have did was throw a punch.
Well, nobody did. So what does that mean? Because you've seen what's going on in Dallas. They're being accused of lack of leadership, lack of cohesiveness. That's very evident to me. I mean, what's your take on what's going on there off the field?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And it started with the injury of Dak Prescott. And when you lost him for the year, that's the heart and soul of the team. And, you know, as a backup, Andy Dalton, no one is expecting a lot from him. You don't have the same type of love you have for for Dak as you do for Andy. You know, that's something that is proven. You know, we just, as men, alpha males in that locker room, you don't give that up. That's earned. And it's just unfortunate that it's happened. But Mike McCarthy need to get it together as well as Mike Nolan. Those guys are definitely on the hot seat. They haven't been playing well. Offensively, I don't know what they're doing. And defensively, it's atrocious. I mean, right now they couldn't play defense on a parked car. Dallas gives up so many points, and they love to boast on the pro bowlers they have, but they can't even do the simple things, and that's just tackling guys and getting them on the ground.
Well, I have absolutely no doubt that there's a culture problem in Dallas. No doubt at all. Who would be shocked? Just listen to Jerry Jones talk for 5 seconds. But Mike McCarthy's not helping it. That's the thing. which I think he was hired to do. Anyways, Lynch has more. But before we go to that, can we get to your Week 8 Tory's Tips presented by Wheaton Kia? What do you got, Tory?
All right. Well, here we go, man. This is our favorite time of the week, fantasy football. Thanks for putting the my players up on the board. We got to go with Joe Burrow this week. I think this is a great bounce-back spot for Joe. They're going against the Tennessee Titans. And as I predicted last week, did I call that the Steelers would beat the Tennessee Titans? And it happened. So pay attention. Joe Burrow, this is a spot for him to go out there and light it up. They're the only team in the NFL that stays in five wide. They don't believe in running the football. They let them throw the ball 30 to 40 times a game. This is how you're going to get a lot of fantasy numbers. Jermichael McHasty, he's the next guy that's up for the San Francisco 49ers bullpen of running backs. They've been hampered by injury, but he's a guy that can step in there. He should play well against the Seattle defense because that's something they don't do out there. They depend on Russell Wilson, and they give up a lot of points. Josh Jacobs this week, I think this is a great spot for him. They're playing against the Cleveland Browns. You can depend on him to carry the football. Chucky, John Gruden comes out in his Chucky uniform and makes sure he gets the guys to win, so make sure you pick up Josh Jacobs. Also like Tyler Boyd. If you guys have been following me over the past few weeks, I love to match quarterbacks and receivers. I like to get more bang for the buck. So if I can get the quarterback, Joe Burrow, and match him with Tyler Boyd, I think this is going to be a great 1-2 combination where they go up and down the field on that Tennessee Titan defense. And if it sprinkle a little more on there, I like T. Higgins of Clemson. He's also a Cincinnati Bengal. I'm predicting that the Bengals and Tennessee Titans game is going to be one of the most high-scoring football games this Sunday. Last but not least, at receiver, I love Justin Jefferson. This guy's a rookie, but he has been balling since day one. He's averaging 15 yards a catch. He's finding the end zone, and he's one of Kirk Cousins' favorite targets for that Minnesota Vikings team. So just ride the wave with the rookie. Next is David Njoku. He's a tight end for Cleveland. I like him. Baker Mayfield is getting the ball out. Why not hit your tight end, the biggest and most athletic guy on the field? And last but not least, my flex player is Darren Waller. I'm piggybacking just saying that the Raiders and the Browns game is going to be high scoring. It's going to be a high scoring event, as well as the Titans and Cincinnati Bengals. I think all four of those teams are going to put up a lot of points. So if you can mix and match players of these teams, it should lead you to a big win in fantasy. And for our defense, most important, you got to go against Tua Tagovailoa. Right now, this is his first start. There was no OTAs. There was no spring practice. And he got no preseason reps. And you're going to throw him in there against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey of that defense. I think Tua stinks it up on Sunday. Not saying his career is going to be bad, but his first start is going to be bad. And why not capitalize on that? So that's Tory's tips for this week.
Outstanding job, Tory, for Wheaton Kia. Hey, Sensei Gurley, his tips for Wheaton Kia. Oh, yeah, let's just throw him in there. Shatter his confidence. You just said even more reasons why he shouldn't be starting this week. But anyways, Lynch has more.
All right, Corey, I'm thinking of times right now, looking ahead. Very impressed with a team I don't want to be impressed with, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Since they got Claypool on there, they drafted him this year, the kid from BC and University of Notre Dame. He looks great, but really, I am really impressed right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think there's no doubt about it. They're the best team in the American Conference. Would you agree?
Definitely. I'm loving Pittsburgh, and I don't think they're going to go undefeated, but I think the schedule has been very generous to them. They've taken advantage of some of the teams they've played, and I think on Sunday they go out and get another big win against the Baltimore Ravens, and here's the reason why I'm backing the Steelers. I don't believe in Lamar Jackson as a quarterback. He is a great athlete, but when it comes to being a quarterback, making throws, that's something he struggles with. And as long as Pittsburgh can generate a pass rush with Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt, that's going to make it extremely difficult for Lamar to be comfortable in a pocket and to dissect any defense. What makes Lamar so dynamic is that he can scramble and run around. But whenever you have two ends that can meet at the point of a quarterback, that forces you to step up in the pocket. And that guy just doesn't like to play football that way. He wants to be in space. He wants to roll around. And Pittsburgh defense isn't having it. So I think this is a great spot for Pittsburgh. You got to take your hat off Big Ben. A lot of people wrote him off after his elbow surgery, but this guy stepped up and he's looked well, and he should get MVP votes this year, as well as just Russell Wilson, man. I think it's going to be a great race, and it's going to come down to the last week of the season on who gets the MVP.
Going to the NFC North, that division, the Detroit Lions, I can't believe it. They continued to be bad, I thought, with getting the defensive coordinator Pasquale from the Packers, or from who? From Baltimore, from the Patriots, would have really helped them. Hasn't helped them at all.
Matt Patricia, the head coach.
Patricia. They look as bad as ever. I think they're in deep trouble, and I think Matt Patricia is probably going to be fired one of these weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to say because they've won two straight. But I think this Sunday they played against the Indianapolis. They played the Indianapolis Colts in Detroit. But I think the Colts coming off a bye, I think this is a great spot for them. I don't believe in just picking people off the Belichick tree or the Nick Saban tree because it just doesn't work out that way. You know, you just can't. There's only one Bill Belichick or one Nick Saban in this world. So with Matt Patricia having that job in Detroit, obviously he's there on borrowed time. But I just don't think this is a great week for them. I think they're going to go out and get beat by an Indianapolis Colts team that's just better from top to bottom when it comes to coaching and Frank Wright or playmakers on the field. So, you know, I'm with you on that. Eventually he's going to get fired and we'll have to wait till then.
Last one. In the minute that we have left, things really change in a week, Torrey. Last week we were talking about Antonio Brown to the Seahawks. And then on Sunday, he signs with the Buccaneers. He's got to serve out a suspension here, but he will be with Tampa this year. What do you think that means to Tampa?
That lets you know Tom Brady has a lot of pull in that organization. And something that didn't happen in New England is surrounding him with a lot of talent, but you can't say that in Tampa. Literally, from Mike Evans to Chris Godwin to Rob Gronkowski to Antonio Brown, whenever you have a plethora of weapons, it's going to make it extremely convenient for Tom to go out there and pick you apart. I see Bruce Arians has gotten back to calling plays that Tom is comfortable with. Yeah, they're running things that he was doing in New England, and it's scary because we're not even talking about the Buccaneers defense. These guys get after it, and you know, right now it's looking like the Chiefs and the Buccaneers is going to be in a Super Bowl down there in Tampa.
Wouldn't that be amazing? 5-2. They're way ahead of where anybody thought they would be, except for Tom himself. Sensei Gurley, thank you. If you're trick-or-treating, be safe. We'll talk to you in a week.
What? Oh, yeah, you got one last thing. I want to plan a football camp in Saskatchewan. I want to do it. I know it's about to get cold there, so we're not going to do it in the snow. But I would love to set something up in the spring to help out the kids in the community, because I can only imagine with them probably being at home or maybe being in school and things being differently. I want to make sure I give back, and let's work on that this year, this spring coming up.
Maybe we'll do a couple. Believe me, that we can do it indoors, and there'll be kids looking for something to do once the snow starts flying, for sure.
Great idea.
All right. Torrey, good job, man. Keep in touch. We'll talk about it.
Hey, Torrey.
Yes, sir.
Our NFL fantasy expert, Torrey Gurley, joining us for Torrey's Tips, presented by Wheaton Kia. We got a sports update coming up. We got viewer takeover. We got legendary Rams coach Frank McChrystal and Mike Benavides coming up on the program, too. Hang on. It's a Flame Tech Football Friday. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Just before the sports update, on this day, Lynch, in 2008, October 30th, the great Don Matthews coached his final CFL game. Do you remember it?
Yep. 45-38.
Wow!
How about that, eh?
The Argos lost to the Saskatchewan Roughriders 45-38. This guy's got a memory of a steel trap right here.
Sensational. I remember it was a sensational game back and forth. an entertaining game, that kind of game the fans love.
Kerry Joseph threw 5 touchdowns, and they lost.
Yeah.
It was the Dons' last game. Thank you, Steve Johnson, for pointing that out on Twitter. So, to a sports update, the NHL says an independent investigation has cleared former Florida Panthers general manager Dale Tallon of any wrongdoing. The league had received an anonymous report that he had made inappropriate racial, religious, and ethnic comments while with the Panthers. The NHL says those claims were never substantiated. Meanwhile, the Arizona Coyotes have renounced their rights to their top 2020 draft pick after learning more about his bullying of a black classmate 4 years ago. The team has parted ways with Mitchell Miller after taking heat for selecting him in the 4th round earlier this month. Arizona selected Miller while aware of his 2016 assault conviction. The Yankees plan to exercise 2 option years on reliever Zach Britton worth $27 million U.S., but they plan to decline options on outfielder Brett Gardner and pitcher Jay Happ. Gardner would get a $2.5 million buyout rather than a $10 million salary. Happ's deal did not have a buyout. The Milwaukee Brewers have declined to exercise a $15 million U.S. mutual 2021 option on veteran outfielder Ryan Braun, the franchise's career home run leader. And how about this, Lynch? Tony La Russa is returning to manage the Chicago White Sox 34 years after they fired him.
How old is he?
76.
My God. Damn near as old as me.
The 76-year-old Hall of Famer takes over for Rick Renteria after what the Red Sox insisted was a mutual agreement to split. La Russa won a world championship with the Oakland A's, Smash Brothers, and 2 more with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Can't believe that.
The sports update is for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. They are now booking your company Christmas parties. We can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit BallersRecRoom.com. It's also home to the Great Western Indoor Slow Pitch League, of which we are holding our own.
Fantastic food, eh?
Whew, very good. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Our poll question today has really got people's heads popping off all across the land. For Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, who's the greatest general manager in CFL history? Leading the Twitter vote with 49%, it's Wally Buono. Second place, Hugh Campbell with 33%, 11% voting for Jim Popp, and 7% voting for Eric Tillman. The results on Facebook are very similar to that. And Lynch, to the people in Calgary that are very upset with us, and that's nothing new, by the way, them being upset with us. The reason Huffnagel was not included in the top 4 is we can only have 4. Explain why.
He hasn't won enough. And he has been with only one team. Simple. Other guys have been pretty well with 2 or 3 teams. So.
Well, and Hugh Campbell should be an open and shut case.
Yeah, no doubt about
9 Grey Cups with one team.
Yeah.
Tillman won 3 with 3.
3 different teams.
Jim Popp has won 5 Grey Cups.
With 4 teams.
Baltimore, 4 with Montreal. Does that sound right? No. 1 with Baltimore, 3 with Montreal, 1 with Toronto.
Yeah, 3.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Huff is excellent. What this tells me is there's a lot of great general managers in CFL history.
Huffnagel may be there in the future, but right now, as of today, no.
That's the vote. Monty in Saskatoon's watching. He's the former Huskies equipment manager. He says, Calgary, please get over it. And Monty, you're going to be one of watching in hour 2 when Frank McChrystal joins us here in studio, your favorite football coach. Right, Slick? There you go. Come on, Frank.
Well, that's great.
Everybody's favorite.
Good,
that's right.
He's sitting over there.
Frank McChrystal will be with us in hour 2. Perhaps the best way to measure, this is from one of our viewers, perhaps the best way to measure the top GM is a ratio between Grey Cups won and big money spent on free agents. Well, that's all. Do we want to go down that road?
No.
Does it even matter?
No.
Pre-salary cap versus post-salary cap?
Results are what counts. And that's Campbell and Ishewin.
Yeah. As Lynch would say, he's a winner all the way.
Sure is.
So, in the time we have left in this segment, because it's viewer takeover next segment, and we remind our viewers to please sign your name when you're writing in. because I can't see on the board today who is writing them. We can see the comments, but I can't see who's writing them. Frenzy, where's the CFL going with the passing of David Braley?
Oh, confusion. That's all they didn't need. Really confusing. It's going to be tough. They've got to just grab the bull by the horns and try to improve over last year. And I think they've each town they're going to have to find people who want to get involved in the team, buy the team, really get involved, make themselves viewable in the community, raise money as much as they can. I think that there's no doubt about Lahir. People love football. They love the Rough Riders because everywhere I go, people are asking, Mr. Lynch, when are we going to start the season? Are we going to have a season this year, John? What's going on? All kinds of questions. They really care. And I think that's prevalent for the most part throughout Western Canada. Eastern Canada, I don't know. That could be really a tough one. It comes down to seven teams. I think we can have a seven-team league, but Toronto won't want to be one of them. And that's a key player. If we're going to have good television coverage, we've got to have Toronto in the league. And I don't think they're going to be in it. And that means, do we go with a seven-team league? Can we go with an eight-team league? Yes, we can. I think we're smart enough that we can make it work. And the loss of not having Toronto with us, somehow-wise, we can work that out. Television-wise, we can still show all the games.
Yeah. Slide your butt over to the right or to the left, please. That Kia logo is hidden on your chest. And Wheaton Kia. There you go. Wheaton Kia brings you John Lynch's appearances every Friday here on the Rod Peterson Show. I don't even really care about Toronto. I'm sorry. I understand a lot of the league leaders have said, Rod, we have to have a Toronto team, so just stop. We have to. All the money's here, all the population's here. I'm like, well, they are in anchor. They're killing you. Although I think when it comes back, they might have it. Like, they're on the upswing with pinball and an exciting young team. A lot of great local players, which I think is very important for Toronto. But if I had to choose between an Atlantic team or Toronto, I'd take the Atlantic team.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have both.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could.
Somebody wrote in and said, how many Grey Cups has Wally won? I looked it up here.
Six of them.
Five.
Yeah.
1992, 1998, 2001, 2006, and 2011. That's five as a GM, two more as a player. Seven-time Grey Cup champion, Wally Buono. He's on the poll. It's not a slight to John Huffnagel, everybody, that he didn't make the top four for our poll, okay?
How many has he won? Two.
Huff?
Yes, he won two.
I think he's got three. 08, 2014, 2018, and he lost a couple, too.
Yeah. Losses don't count.
Nelson, our VP of Sim Events, writes in. He says, in the world of streaming, do you even need Toronto? It's a very good question.
It is.
You see Sportsnet today tweeting a logo for the Toronto Raccoons. Yeah, I showed that to you, hey? They say, how would you feel about the NFL Toronto Raccoons? I'm like, keep dreaming, you guys. And by the way, you're not doing the CFL any favors to keep talking about the NFL in Toronto. Larry in Medicine Hat's watching. He says, keeping Toronto is an old argument that needs to end. How? End by stopping talking about it? Or end by having a Toronto Argonauts? They're the oldest pro football team on the continent.
Yep. 1886 or something. It's amazing.
People aren't very good at listening.
I mean, one more Grey Cup to
people
else,
aren't very good at listening nor retaining today. Somebody has written in, but he didn't put their name. Are we going to have a CFL next year?
We don't know.
That's Monty. Are we going to have a CFL next year? Let's talk about that when we come back. We'll talk about the latest words from the commissioner, get our take, and yours too on Viewer Takeover. It's coming up next. Fire your thoughts at us at the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer, headquartered in Winnipeg. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show. You're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to this show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Lynch is on fire today. And he's going to stick around into hour two when Slick joins us. Can you put the comment up from Chris in Toronto, guys, if you don't mind? There's one thing about the Toronto CFL NFL discussion. It sure gets people fired up, Lynch. They care. Chris in Brampton, Ontario says, "See, I keep saying it. The Argos are Canada's team. Everyone hates them. Like it or not, as long as there's a CFL, there will always be the Argos." I think you couldn't be more wrong. The Argos have long been my second team since I was a little kid, primarily because I love their colors. But Conreg Holloway? Who do you know that hates the Argos, Lynch, that isn't from Hamilton?
Gary Kelly, Don Perkins, Billy Benson.
No, who do you know that does hate the Argos? Those guys hate the Argos?
Yeah. It's because it's wrong.
All those Rolo guys.
Rolo guys. That's the attitude of the Argos. And the Argos snotty, don't give a damn attitude. You know that. They figure they can walk in
Chris,
water.
You're the first person to call the Argos Canada's team. And probably will be the last.
That's right. I don't know what's... Well, I mean, they got too many other teams. They got four other pro teams there. So people have such a great choice, eh? I don't know why they don't take the CFL and Riders, but that's something Frank can tell us all about.
I don't know. That's a dumb argument to me. That's like saying, why do the New York Islanders play in New York? They already got the Giants and the Jets and the Mets and the Yankees.
why do the Jets play?
Wait a minute. They don't have the Jets. I'm sorry. The Yankees have as many wins in the NFL this year as the Jets. Prairie Mobile text line to 306-840-8777 from Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta. Hugh Campbell, end of story. Game, set, match. On and off the field. He's referring to our poll question. Who's the greatest general manager in CFL history? He says, Gluey Huey. I have a little time for the argument that would he have been able to survive in the salary cap era, but it doesn't matter. Metal Shingle Guy writes in. He says, the CFL has been trying their best since March. This is a nothing story again. See you in 2022, maybe. And we'll finish this hour, Lynch, with your thoughts on Randy Ambrosi's comments that they're looking under every stone for a way to play next year.
Yeah,
with fans, without fans, with a bubble. Do you think they're going to pull it off?
Oh, I hope so. They're going to do everything they can to encourage people to come by, to come the games. I think you can buy a ticket now for the 3-year, 21, 22, 23, which is a great deal. Never heard of that before, a 3-year season ticket. But he didn't say anything yesterday in his big speech. What about the players? He's talking about the ticket sales. I want to know, and people want to know what's happening to the players. They hate seeing all our great players going to the National Football League. So I'm concerned still, what's the status of the players? They sell the tickets. You don't go there just to sit and look. You go there to see people play, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid what's going to happen. I mean, I see the guy, a big center, going to...
Brett Jones?
Yeah.
All those guys would have been in the NFL, whether the CFL's playing or not. No, that's got nothing to do with it.
The guy who just became the center for the 49ers.
Dakota Shepley.
Yeah, Dakota Shepley. I mean, he's a good football player. We needed him back here. I don't like the replacement. And I don't like seeing these things happen. So many of these guys going to the States. It's going to take the quality of our game down, and those guys were heroes up here. And like Dakota Shepley said, he really wanted to play for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, but the Roughriders didn't make him an offer, nor do they show him any enthusiasm toward him.
Great thoughts. Coming up next hour, Frank McChrystal will talk about all of this with us, plus the Red Blacks defensive coordinator, Mike Benavides. Sorry, we're a minute ahead of where I thought we would be. So, anyways, vote on our polls. You got 24 hours to vote on it. Who is the top general manager in CFL history? Your options are Jim Popp. Who did we put? Eric Tillman, Hugh Campbell, Wally Buono. And Wally Buono was leading on both Facebook and Twitter. There are the results. Tori's tips as well, brought to you by FanDuel and Wheaton Kia. Get your fantasy teams in by Sunday morning with Tori's tips. If you missed it, you can go back and follow all of our social media feeds for that. Anything else, Frenzy?
No. Oh, we got lots.
Yeah, I think you've done enough.
We got a lot for McChrystal.
We got a lot for Frank McChrystal. That's right. Thanks to our guests. We're keeping the party going an hour or two on Facebook Live. For the rest of y'all, we'll see you Monday morning at 10 a.m. This has been a Flame Tech Football Friday on Game Plus TV.
Don't throw it out. While there's smoke, there's fire.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.